From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 28th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, an emergency at a local justice center, a rare sighting in a county backyard, and Father Royce Thomas is the newest priest at St. Alphonsus Liguori Catholic Church. He's the second black priest to lead the majority African-American congregation and says he hopes to implement more community wraparound support services.
One of those things we would be doing is offering maybe counseling and support for folks who have been affected by gun violence.
More of his plans for the parish coming up on The Gateway. A jail reform group says detainees are being mistreated and kept in dangerously hot cells at the St. Louis jail. As STLPR's Lucretia Wembley reports, the Freedom Community Center is calling on the city to address what they're calling an emergency situation.
Advocates say they've received dozens of calls from detainees and their loved ones. They say jail residents are having seizures and fainting in the heat, and that the jail isn't providing sufficient medical care. Erica Hallman is an abolitionist organizer with the center.
Almost every person that we work with through our sponsored release program or that we connect with in another way, we hear the same things. They're telling the truth about their own experience, and they've been neglected in the jail. They have not received medical treatment.
Jail leaders in recent weeks denied those claims, stating that the welfare of detainees is their top priority. At least 22 people have died in custody at the city jail since 2020. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The state auditor for Missouri says local control over St. Louis public schools isn't working. Scott Fitzpatrick released a report yesterday examining the district's operations, and as STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, he used that moment as an opportunity to call for a new form of governance over the district.
Public school districts are typically governed by locally elected school boards. Unless a district loses its accreditation, then a state-appointed board is put in charge. Fitzpatrick will recommend the State Board of Education consider alternate oversight for the school district, but stop shy of calling for a state takeover.
This is a district that's in the midst of massive operational distress, and it's crucial that the more than 16,000 kids have effective leadership in place to guide them through these turbulent times.
His audit found SLPS's former officials failed to provide adequate leadership over the district's finances and operations. Superintendent Myra Berry says SLPS has new leadership and procedures in place.
Our community should continue to expect our promise of accountability, transparency, and responsible stewardship of public resources.
State officials could take away the district's accreditation next year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new Missouri law requiring adult content websites to implement age verification goes into effect today. Users must prove they're at least 18 years old before they're able to access sexually explicit content. The law puts into statute rules that Missouri Attorney General Catherine Hanaway implemented last year. She says upholding the law would begin with going after the sites.
We have no desire to go after individual users. Our efforts would be targeted at investigating the companies to make sure that they are actually requiring the age verification.
Through the law, websites would have to use a third party to conduct the age verification. That could include digital recognition or uploading an ID. Another new law that goes into effect in Missouri today clarifies that divorce can be finalized even when a partner is pregnant. STLPR Sarah Fentum reports the bill's sponsor says it will help people leave abusive relationships.
Before this week, anyone could file for divorce in Missouri, but some judges in the state interpreted the law to mean divorce couldn't be finalized until after a couple's baby was born. Jefferson County Republican Representative Cecily Williams is the author of the bill, which received bipartisan support in the legislature. She says time is of the essence when severing an abusive relationship.
By granting a divorce, you have that separation. A lot of times, that's all it takes for your abuser to know they can no longer control you.
Critics of the law say it should have included language on how courts should arrange custody, paternity, and child support for a couple's unborn children. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt is promoting a savings account program that could help people with disabilities live more independently. As STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports, this comes amid widespread criticism of how the Trump administration has dealt with disability policy.
Schmidt was in St. Louis County to tout ABLE accounts, which disabled people can use to pay for housing, transportation, and medical expenses. He was joined by Cheryl Hines, an actress and wife of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Disability advocates have harshly criticized Kennedy and Trump for focusing on finding the cause of autism instead of championing programs that foster independence among disabled people. Schmidt says the administration can do both.
I talk to a lot of parents of individuals who have been diagnosed with autism who don't feel like there have been adequate answers over the years.
Missouri's treasurer administers the state's ABLE program. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Three federal grants worth more than $10 million will help construct new pathways for bikes and walkers through the St. Louis region, including a half-mile stretch in downtown. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has details.
The East-West Gateway Council of Governments approved federal funding this week for three Great Rivers Greenway projects. A $7.5 million grant will fund the construction of a half mile of greenway on Market Street in downtown St. Louis, including intersection and crosswalk upgrades. Two other $1.5 million grants will fund the construction of a greenway between Gwen Giles Park and Goodfellow Boulevard, as well as upgrades to the Spencer Creek Trail in St. Peter's. Mark Perkins is Great River Greenway's CEO.
These federal dollars allow us to continue to move those projects forward much quicker than if we otherwise didn't have these funds available.
Perkins says roughly 140 miles of greenway have been constructed in the region, and another 67 miles are in the planning, design, or construction stage. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
A very rare white monarch butterfly was spotted in a backyard milkweed garden in St. Louis County this week. The insect was seen as homeowner Heather Hardy tended to her yard, which she's curated to be hospitable to butterflies. The Bridgeton resident says seeing something so special in her own milkweed garden shows that it's possible for regular people to make a difference for pollinators.
I think it's really an exciting reminder of like how much we are in control of in our own backyards.
The white monarch looks like a regular monarch, only with white scales instead of orange. According to experts at the Missouri Botanical Gardens Butterfly House, this is only the third known sighting of a white monarch in Missouri since the early 1900s. Ted Yankowski is an entomologist with the Butterfly House. He says those white scales come from an incredibly rare recessive genetic trait, and entomologists still haven't figured out what genes cause it.
Depending on who you ask, it's one in a million to perhaps, you know, one in maybe hundreds of millions of butterflies in North America will be white and black instead of orange and black.
White butterflies could be more likely to get eaten as they don't have that bright orange color to warn predators that they can be toxic. But Yankowski agrees that this sighting shows if you create a home for pollinators like butterflies near your own home, you can make exciting discoveries in your own backyard. The Festival of Nations returns to Tower Grove Park this weekend and touts that it will be bigger than ever. Festival organizers say they got 215 vendor applications and will have a record number of vendors, plus more than 30 performers, all local. Terry Bates is director of communications at the International Institute of St. Louis, which puts on the festival. He says they try to learn from feedback from years past.
You know, we'll try to just keep making this better and bigger and grow and be more what we want it to be, and that is a celebration.
The festival broke even last year after nearly not happening because of lost federal funding. It will donate any profit this year to the Institute's food bank. The festival runs from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow, that's Saturday, and from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday. St. Alphonsus Liguori Catholic Church, also known as The Rock, officially welcomed its newest priest this month. One of the few majority black Catholic parishes still in existence now has its first black priest in over 20 years. As STLPR's Andrea Henderson reports, Father Royce Thomas says he has big plans to revitalize the church.
Behind a light gray stone wall sits a Gothic Revival-style Catholic church that stood in the Covenant Blue Grand Center neighborhood at North Grand and Cook Avenues since 1867. St. Alphonsus Liguori is often referred to as the Rock because of its massive stone walls and steeple that can be seen from afar. And some parishioners call it the Rock because of the rhythmic mass filled with African ancestral rituals and gospel-style hymns. On a hot August Sunday morning, a woman in an African printed top starts the processional. She glides down the center aisle, holding up a brown bowl adorned with cowrie shells and filled with woodsy-smelling incense. Altar boys and girls vibrantly walk in with candles and the processional cross. The Rock's newest priest, Father Royce Thomas, comes in last. He's clapping vigorously and silently greeting people with his eyes as the choir belts out liturgical songs.
The Rock is so unique in the sense that there are so many gifted, talented folks in this community all at once, that you'd have to, in some dioceses, go to like 5-6 churches to find that.
Thomas is electrifying in the pulpit. Some laugh with him as he shares his conversational message. It's as if he's a comedian from heaven sharing God's good news. Thomas is the second Black priest to lead the Rock. The last one was more than 20 years ago. In the early 1940s, it became one of the first Catholic parishes in St. Louis to integrate. And by the 1950s, it was predominantly Black due to white flight.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be the second person of this dynamic church. Therefore, I got to work.
Thomas is originally from Trinidad and Tobago and became an ordained priest in 2022. He moved from Philadelphia to St. Louis last July. The city's charm is growing on him, but he says he's noticed a few red flags in the neighborhood.
One of the things being here now that I cannot ignore is the poverty and the drug crisis, even right up the street. Few of the churches on Grand here, we've been talking tirelessly on how we can really make a difference.
Thomas says some parishioners have come to him asking for help finding a place to live or work. Another mission he's passionate about is helping the community grieve the loss of family members. He's also trying to reach a younger generation.
And one of those things we would be doing is offering maybe counseling and support for folks who have been affected by gun violence.
Henrine Brown has been a member of The Rock since 1987. She says Thomas's energy is refreshing, but it's taken some of the older members longer to gravitate toward his style of ministry.
I'm praying that he will draw more young people to the church to keep it afloat. And I'm sure a lot of older people don't like his energy, but I love it.
Lowell Martin Jr. and his wife joined the parish last November. He was raised Baptist, but says he immediately felt the Rock was where he belonged.
There is such a spirit abound in this facility like no other. And once Father Royce came, it escalated. And the spirit here is so much stronger than anything I've felt in my life.
For Thomas, the Rock symbolizes hope. He prays that his community-first vision for the parish and the surrounding area will light up the path to mental and spiritual freedom. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. Before we let you go, we gotta let someone else go. It's the last official day on the job for our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer. So we're taking a few moments to appreciate what he's done here at STLPR. Will's reporting really shows what good broadcast journalism can be. He takes you along for the ride.
In about 15 minutes or so, the bike bus will have picked up one more student and be at school in time for 7:50 classes.
He puts you in the action.
And now, it's game time.
And he teaches you something new.
Sojay, not Sajay or Sojay, Sojay.
He's taken seriously the charge to own his beat, leading coverage of important developments involving schools and industries in the Metro East. He's investigated water quality, addressed lawmakers, and really immersed himself in our communities east of the Mississippi.
In Edwardsville, in Belleville, in East St. Louis.
His work has earned him awards during his time here. And more importantly, as I know he'd say, it's led to positive changes for people affected.
He pulls a picture out of a binder.
This is what I looked like when the company got rid of me. I was covered with radiation burns.
He's multifaceted. Will is a comedic fixture on our web series, The Station.
In a surprise move, it looks like Will will take the gold and his choice of pizza.
Will, the thrill strikes again.
And his byline is on one of the most well-read, deepest stories we've ever covered.
Eventually, the sinkhole will be filled in.
Though he's now leaving a 100-foot sinkhole in our hearts, we're wishing a big congratulations to Will and his wife on their next moves. He's a great colleague, an excellent team player, and the kind of person you feel thankful to have telling stories of your community. And I'll miss saying his name on the radio. We'll never have a better Will Bauer. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Our theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.